Good morning. Did you say special or did you say weird? Well, great to have you here this morning. It's a wonderful day. Yeah, you know, as Bruce is right, you know, I grew up in the heat and I just enjoy heat. So if it's warm, just think of me. You know, if you're sweating, go, oh, it's so hot. Just think of me. I'll be smiling going, like that, you know. You know, things are, you know, yesterday was really wonderful. Not only had a little workout with the men out there with the, you know, with the trees and all that, but afterwards, Joy and I were able to get to the creamery there at Penn State, and that was very creamy. And it was very nice, a warm night and stuff like that. So it was a very special event. And you know, things are really going well, and things really went well today because, you know, I put on my desert shirt, you know, just in honor of the warmth. And my wife has to dress like me. So guys, when your wife has to dress like you, you know things are really going well. Mick, do you understand what I'm saying? All right, that's good to know. So wonderful here. After dinner, Mint, we'll talk about that in a little bit here. You know, I don't know about you, but when we go to Canada, you know, to visit Joy's family, and she has some friends, lifelong friends there, and become my friends as well. And I still, you know, and you can relate to this, and this is with family and friends and stuff like that. You go to a meal, right, and you're just eating and chatting and stuff like that, and but the real good stuff doesn't happen until after. See, when that after dinner mint comes out, you know, some of it might look a little different. It might look like a little ice cream or some cake or some pie or something like that. But, you know, I just call it after dinner mint. But when you start, that comes out, you know, the masks that you're wearing start to get put aside. You know, the guard that you had up starts to fall away. And you start talking. It might be the sugar, I don't know. But you start talking a little bit more. Your heart, you're starting to share more from your heart. And I don't know about you, okay, this is my problem because Joy is always yelling at me, but I think I can yell at her too, is that, you know, you're leaving. Say, yeah, thank you for the great evening. That was wonderful food and all that stuff. Thank you and all that. You start getting to the door and all of a sudden you start talking again. And a half an hour later, you're going, I'm going to my car now. And you start going out to your car. And then a half an hour later, you finally get in your car and you beep and you wave and ooh, like that, and you stick your head out the window and all that stuff as you drive down the road, all right? So, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the guard gets let down. It's like the meal is like an icebreaker, you know? You know an icebreaker is, it kind of just, it helps you kind of get away from everything. Kind of, you know, like I said, just kind of takes off the mask. You let your guard down, and you feel comfortable with one another. Then you can share with your heart. And so when I was thinking about Jesus, see, he was just in a meal with the Pharisees, you know, the last time we were talking. And he was denouncing how they were living their lives because they were really become a hindrance to the nation of Israel. They couldn't really understand how to follow God because, you know, all the rules and all the hypocrisy that was going on that the leaders were showing them and modeling to them. And I was thinking, what an after dinner meant it must have been for Jesus to come out. And I don't know if his disciples were there in the meal with him or at that meal or not. But he met them, and there's a huge crowd. They said, you know, here it's saying, you know, when a crowd of many thousands, just thinking about that. Now, I don't know if he was out in an open area or in a little town. I'm not sure what it looks like, but there's a lot of people, and they were crowding in to hear him. And I could just see his heart just going, ah. And he's letting, you know, he's just going to share from his heart to the people around him. And so he turns to his disciples. He's not talking to everybody. If they want to listen, they can listen. But these are his disciples. These are the ones that he's teaching because they're the ones that are going to carry on the work. And he knew that. So he was preparing them. So he gave them warnings and encouragement. And there's a hidden truth that we're going to be talking about that's really critical for us in our daily walk with Christ. So we're going to be looking at that. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, yeah, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. The revelation of God is all around us. It's in your word. It's in your creation. We just praise you that you are so good, that you give us so many opportunities to open our hearts to who you are and how we can follow you. So, Lord, we pray that you just bless this time, that you open up our hearts and minds and teach us anew and remind us of things of old, and that your name be glorified in this, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Excuse my voice sometimes. Will's song kind of caught me a little bit. Thank you, Will. I do appreciate that. Good song there. So, first of all, we're going to be looking at some of the just the words. You know, when I was reading through that passage, just things just start coming out at you. You know, you just kind of, you know, they say when you read, you know, read a word, just read it, but then start noticing, you know, some of the words, you know, that jump out. You know, things like be on your guard, do not be afraid, do not worry. That, you know, he's teaching his disciples, and these are kind of like these teaching points, right? That he's going through with them. And it's just something that sticks out to me in that part. And so there's all that. So first of all, we'll just go through the warnings. And he's talking about, you know, this, you know, he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, you know, because you know what yeast does. All you have to do is take a little bit. Because when Joy makes pizza dough, she just puts a little bit into all that dough. And then she starts kneading it. And then we put it by a little heat source. And it, as the day goes on, you just see this rise and rise and rise. And sometimes it rises so much it starts to overflow just from a little bit of yeast. And what Jesus is saying, hey, he's just telling these guys, hey, beware. Don't be like these Pharisees and experts of the law, because they are hypocrites. What they're saying, what they say is not what they're really going to do. Okay, as you see what's going on here, right? There's a little hypocrisy going on. It's just, hey, yeah, I'm going to do it this way, and then really, I'm doing almost pretty much the exact opposite. You know, this works through our bodies. What happens to us as we follow that type of modeling, you know, it just eats away at our moral character, really, like a canker sore. Have you ever had one of those? Those hurt, and you just can't get rid of them. They just kind of eat away at you. So he's just reminding us, don't be like them. And then he gives us a real good reason why. Because there's a day it's going to be exposed. Now, it might be sooner or later, but that hypocrisy is going to be exposed. It could be exposed the next day by somebody say, hey, look, I'm done with you. You know, yeah. Or, you know, like Martin Luther King, you know, nailing out those new things that he's been learning about the Bible and that they're hiding for so long. You know, or it could be later on or all the way to the end of the age when the day of judgment comes. But it's all going to be exposed. Every word, everything that we do is going to be exposed. And I tell you something, when you're talking like that, I'm starting to go, oh, I got to check my heart out. How am I living my life? Am I being a hypocrite? And I, you know, there's times when I say, oh, yeah, I am being a hypocrite. You know, we have to be really careful in the church because we have a tendency to have traditions in our church. We do it this way, and we got to have it like that. And when other people are coming in and, you know, they're trying to fit into it, and it's just hard because, you know, it's just, you know, the younger generation does things a little bit differently, and then we wonder why the younger generation doesn't come to church. So we have to be careful not to allow traditions to get in the way of Christ, because it's the cross. That's what it's about. What he done for us, not our little traditions that we feel so comfy and so warm like, you know, break it up. Do something different. Step out. Allow something new. All generations should be working together. We have a multi-generational church, praise the Lord. And so we should be encouraging one another and supporting one another. And there's, you know what? The older generation should be the one stepping aside. And we need to be pouring down into younger generation because they're going to be carrying the torch. So, you know, just like the Pharisees, you know, they lay these heavy burdens on their people and they can't carry the load. We got to watch out for that. And we got to remember to step aside, but not just to step aside in just like a vacuum, but we're always in support and encouragement and prayer. That's discipleship. That's being a mentor. You know, so a lot of churches, you know, we have a lot to learn. I know the churches, a lot of churches we've gone to, they're stuck in the 50s or 60s. And we're trying to reach out to, like when we were in Pasadena. You know, Pasadena's a hopping place, and one of the most hopping, most advanced places in the world, right? Culturally and all that. You got the whole world there. And this little 50s church was in the middle of this upper class area, you know, and we just couldn't connect. The ice cream socials just couldn't connect. It wasn't where they were at. So the church is shut down. You know, somebody else has got that church now. They weren't able to break out their tradition. It was too hard for them. So we have to be careful as Mountaintop Alliance Church. We need to be careful about our traditions and how they can become a burden for growth in a community. You know, we really are going to reach out community. Things are going to look different. And we have to get behind it, especially the older generation. And the younger generation has to build up and bring support back to the older generation to bless them, to support them as well. So there's some thoughts that I had there about hypocrisy. And then Jesus goes on. He's saying, well, you know, don't let them intimidate you, because this whole world tries to intimidate us from following Christ. They don't like it, because you know what? When we stand for Christ, you know, there's a little bit of that eternity in their hearts. And I believe a lot of people, even though they say there's no God, they know it. I don't care if they're a Buddhist or a Hindu or Muslim or whatever, or American, Canadian, whatever. The truth rings true. You can put a lion in a cage, and you can put a little name tag on it called Kitty. And you can call Kitty all you want, but you open up that cage, you're a meal. You're an after-dinner mint. Still a lion. Still ferocious. That's what the truth is. And so, intimidation, they don't want us, because when we're standing for Christ, that hits them hard, because now they have to face the cross. And when we face the cross, we got to remember, we got to make a choice, right? We go our own way or we go His way. And there's consequences for both. So the lies are, you know, when you look back here, say, well, you're going to kill the body. You know, I'm going to kill you. They might not say those very words, but in their mind, they might go on, oh, I hate that guy. He makes me feel so bad. He thinks he's so good. Oh, he thinks he's so righteous. You know, so in their hearts, it's pretty much like they want to kill you. They want to see you brought down. So the intimidation factor is there. They don't want that. So watch out. They can kill the body, but the thing is, that's all they can do. And, you know, I know a lot of people, and we get all afraid, and sometimes we get all caught up in fear. If we die, that's it. Sorry. You know what? You must not be reading your Bible correctly. Because for followers of Christ, it's just a beginning of something even more wonderful. Even more wonderful. This is just kind of like, I feel like it's just kind of like a rehearsal. You know, just kind of getting us ready for eternity, to where we're praising God forever and following Him. And being a part of whatever else He's going to create in the future. So the intimidation is there. And they keep on going down. He says, you know, and we'll get to the more positive parts later. And then you go down a little bit further and you say, just wait until, do you really believe You know, it's kind of like when a part is, you know, you start to get wobbled. You get, you know, we were talking this morning, you're working amongst people, or you're in school amongst people, or you're in a community amongst people that are rebelling against God. They don't believe. And so when you are, you know, and when they know that you do believe, they want you to, you know, to fall over. They want you to start to follow them in whatever they're doing. They want you to be like them. See, do you really believe? They want you to start getting all wobbly and start to compromise your faith. Do you understand that? Have you felt that? I know I have. I've worked in schools. I've been in a lot of different type of communities. Been in a lot of different situations when they don't want me to be a follower of Christ. They don't want me to live my life like him, because it starts to cause them to feel bad about themselves, about where they are with Christ. And they might not even know Christ. So do you really believe? Come on, really? Come on. He made everything? Oh, come on. He split the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Oh, come on, a guy picked up a jawbone of a donkey and killed over 1,000 people. Oh, come on, somebody was raised from the dead. Oh, come on, somebody went on the cross to die for me. Oh, come on, he rose again. Yeah, that's what it is, and that's what we believe. So they want us to wobble and give up and disown, right? They want us to go, oh, yeah, you're right. This is all silly. Christ is nothing. That's what they like to see. And then it comes down to the last part there and says, you know, just wait until your father gets home. You know, that old saying, right? You know, things, you're getting all in trouble. You know, kind of, I'm going to take you to the synagogue. I'm going to get you to the rulers and the authorities, and they're going to paddle your rear end for being such a bad boy. Bad girl. You're doing wrong. You're not following us. You're not doing what we're doing. You're making us look bad. Good. Praise the Lord for that. So all that stuff, all this, it's just bluff. It can only go so far. It is very limited. Very limited. So the encouragement is this. Well, hang in there. Have you ever been in that situation? Yeah, just hang in. You know, there's times when I feel like I just get, you know, just the whole world's coming down on you. Just hang in there, you know. Just stretched out. You know, there's probably a dog or something below there. But, you know, some of the encouragement is this. You know, when you read this, you know, it says, you know, don't fear, you know, you talk about, I tell you, my friends. And so he's saying, first of all, he's encouraging my friends, talking to his disciples. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Okay, that doesn't sound very encouraging. But fear him. When we fear God, it changes our life. Remember, the fear of the Lord, you know, when you're going to gain knowledge and wisdom, you know, the fear of the Lord is in that. You know, if we don't fear God, we're not going to learn wisdom. We're not going to get that knowledge that comes from him. You know, that fear isn't like, but it's like, it's reverence. It's awe. It's giving honor to him. It's praising him above all else. Remember that one song we were singing, you know, name above all names, just singing his praise. So we're talking about, you know, fear him. And then you don't have to fear this other stuff. See, all the things in this world grow strangely dim. All those temptations, all that intimidation coming after you starts to fall aside and become nothing, because you know who to fear. And then Jesus, in his graciousness and his wonderful teaching, says, hey, hold on, guys. Hold on, because there's something. He says this. He says, I tell you, I tell you, yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. See, he cares for us. He cares for us that much. He knows every detail of our lives. He cares about us that much. So we can be hanging there, but you know what? I got a feeling his hand is right here saying, hey, if you fall, I'm catching you. So he cares for us. You know, we fear him. He cares for us. And it goes on that part about disowning him. And people start going, oh, no. You know, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. That's pretty good. That's pretty encouraging. You know, that's, you know, being an advocate for us, right? We stand firm in the faith and we acknowledge God. Well, he's going to acknowledge us before, you know, before the angels. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And now you're going, oh, man. So then you start going, how many times have I done that? In our, maybe not even in our words, sometimes it's just our actions. Sometimes it's our inaction that we show we are disowning Christ. Our attitudes, even our thoughts can get that way. And so we go, oh no, we are in a bad place. And then you turn to Mark 3:9 and you get a little bit of more encouragement there. Let me turn that for you here. 3:28, yeah? Oops, I'm in Matthew. These small pages. Thin paper. It's hard to turn. So 3:28 says this. And this is Jesus' words here. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. I don't know about you, but that's truly encouraging to me. Because when it goes on, when they're talking about that, and they're talking about that unforgivable sin, and people are going, oh, it's unforgivable. But then you go back to this and go, wait a second, hold it. Because remember now, Jesus is a teacher and he warns, right? Sometimes he gives you real something strong to catch your attention, right? But don't forget who he is, because he says, truly I tell you. And when he says that, you know he means what he says. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. So if they're blaspheming Christ or blaspheming the Holy Spirit, stuff like that, people go, oh, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's it for you. You can't repent anymore. You have no chance. But the encouragement is, yeah, you do. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness for all. Let me jump forward a little bit here. Come back there. For there is no sin or amount of sin greater than God's grace to cover it. Where sin increases, God's grace increases all the more. So there's no sin in this world that he cannot forgive, that he will not forgive. But really what it comes down to is this thing, this old deceptive thing. Remember in the last chapter, he's talking about that darkness. You know, our eyes are the lamp of our body and it becomes all dark. We're talking about the heart and where our hearts are. And we are rebelling and we're just rejecting. We just don't want anything to do with God. Oh, you're not going to be seeking repentance. And it's pretty much like you're going to be living a life that cannot be forgiven. And it's true because you're not seeking it. Because this, There's nowhere in the Bible that I've read, I don't know about you, that if there's anybody that seeks repentance that has not been offered that. Nobody's ever denied. Now, maybe man to man said, no, I don't, you know, don't want to receive it. But I'm talking about God, man to God, God to man. I don't think any, you can look at your whole Bible, you can read it. I've read it many, many, many times over. I don't ever remember seeing anybody who went to God and asked for forgiveness where he'd say, sorry, can't forgive you. No, there's no instance in that. Because God's grace is greater than any sin, any amount of sin that we can do in our lives. And if that's not encouraging to you, it's certainly very encouraging to me. Oops, I'm going to go back one way. Oops. Back a little bit here. I just want to start back here. So then, this last part is you're not alone. The encouragement is you're not alone. You know, they send you to the office, in the principal's office or something like that, and there's a big paddle. In my day, there's a big paddle, right, Jeff? And sometimes they had holes in it. Why? Sharon, do you know this too?
I know.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wondering about that because I've been to the principal. Be a nice guy, though. And the paddle, you know, they would wallop you. Okay, they didn't hold back. You know, and I enjoyed watching my friends get swatted. So that, and some other guys, maybe some enemies, and so for that too. But you're not alone, because when you are in that situation and you have no clue what to say, when people are saying, oh, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, you stupid fool. Or when people got a gun to your head like those kids in Columbine and says, are you a Christian? Well, you know what? You know who's going to hold you up? You know who's going to be right there with you? The Holy Spirit, right in time, giving you the words, giving those kids in Columbine the courage to stand up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You can only kill the body. Right? I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I believe in him. Not my words. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. In front of a few or in front of many. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't forsake us. He's there to forgive us. He is greater than any of our sins. Peter knew that. Three times he denied him. All the other disciples ran away and left him. What happened? God, Jesus himself forgave him. You know, Jesus restored Peter personally three times. Have you read that in John chapter 21, I think it is? He restored him. He restores all of us. He's able to do that. He's willing to do that if our hearts are willing to seek that repentance. And so the hidden truth that I talk about, you know, when I was reading this, it just kept on coming at me and at me and at me again. You know, these words, have you ever read the book of Leviticus? You know, there's a lot of times where it says, you know, they say, there's a statement that says, you do this because I am your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord, the one who makes you holy. And it just keeps on going, boom, 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 boom. You know, and then I think I could just see Jesus, his heart, and in between all that teaching, all between all that warning and encouragement, he was saying this, I am the Lord and there is no other. If there's anything that you're going to take away today, take that with you today. Because there is no other. There is no other. God. Than God himself. Than Jesus. And here is Isaiah, these beautiful words. You know, God put it in his heart. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come. Assemble your fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what it is to be present, to be, it is to be present, presented. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold these this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me. A righteous God and a Savior, there is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. There's no other God. There's no other one that you can come to. There's no other one that's going to be there for you. There's no better God to stand for. And He is the only true God. A lot of people stand for other gods, but they're not the true God because they have been deceived. So if we fear God above all else, what will our lives be like? Well, be kind of like this, be integrity, filled with integrity. People who not only say things, but they back it up by their actions. People whose word is good as what it is, as a promise. That's part of what our lives will look like. Courage. Courage in the face of intimidation, of great numbers, looking pretty bad situation, but you know who you stand for. You know what your confidence is. You know what you believe in. And that gives you courage to stand against the most difficult of times. Steadfastness against the toughest of times, facing death in the face, but yet standing firm in what you believe for the people around you, for what you believe in, and trust. You know, our lives are trusting in God. You know, be filled with trust, knowing that He will be there for us. He will not leave us alone. He won't leave us hanging without Him being right there supporting and encouraging us. That's God. That's what our lives should look like. Filled with that courage, filled with that integrity and steadfastness and trust. That's where we have to check our hearts. So you know what? This is your homework. Yeah. Share a meal with Jesus. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what time of the day that looks like for you. Do it daily. And that after dinner meant. Let down and take out the mask. Open up the heart and just share. Talk with them. And he'll talk right back. And you have that good time of communion that will shape your lives, shape my life, to where we can stand firm in the face of all that hypocrisy and intimidation that comes at us daily. That we can act in a way in our attitudes and all that in love. That is shown in our integrity and how we live our lives in steadfastness and trust. All that courage to stand firm in the faith. Share that meal. Share that after dinner meal and enjoy. Enjoy listening to Him. Enjoy just sharing your heart with Him. And this is what it says here in Jude. It says, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. He has great joy in us, His church, His people. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. It's not just the now, right? but it's forevermore as well. And all this people say, amen. So Lord, Father, again, we just praise you and thank you for your great word and reminders, Lord. You are there for us. And you are God. And there is none other besides you. None other than you that can provide the forgiveness of sins that we need. None other than you that can cleanse us from all our sins and redeem our lives and restore us and give us life everlasting. And none other than you're the one that gives us the words to be able to proclaim to others so we can help them see where they're standing before the cross and that they, by your grace alone, will come into your light out of that darkness. Father God, help us to put aside the hypocrisy. Help us to put aside ourselves and take up that cross, willing to submit, surrender all we are to follow you, to love others, to do as you have done, as you have loved us. May we love one another and love others. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.